Well, this morning, we're going to continue our series we started a few weeks ago titled, What We Still Value. If you've been around the last few weeks, I've shared how when Stacy and I first started this process of planning a church some 7 years ago, one of the things that we had to do was develop our core values, those values that we felt God was giving us for this church, for Dallas Foursquare Church. And as we're approaching our sixth anniversary here as a church in January, these core values haven't changed. They are still our core values today. Now, some of you may know what those core values are, some of you may not. And this is why we're taking some time to look at them over the next several weeks and to make sure that we understand what our values are, what they mean, why we've chosen these values. And so a few weeks ago, we started off the series with our first core value, talking about God's Word. We talked about the power of God's Word and the fact that it's not a rule book, because a lot of people look at the Bible and it's like, oh, it's just a rule book, man. It makes life miserable for us, right? We got to do this. We got to do that. It's not a rule book. If you really look at the Bible, it's a storybook that reveals the story of God. It tells us who He is and who He desires us to be. His desire for each of us to become a part of His story. And then last week we talked about our second core value, which is worship. And the fact that worship is far more than just singing praises to the Lord on a Sunday morning, okay? Worship is glorifying God in all that we do. That's worship. When we glorify Him, when we lift Him up in all that we do. And we talked about, and the second part of that is, and delighting in doing it. That we love, that it's a delight to honor God, to glorify Him. And again, if you missed either of these messages, I would encourage you to go online and to check them out, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home church, because it will help you kind of understand who we are and who we feel God's called us to be. And so today, we're going to talk about our third core value. We're going to talk about obedience. Yes, it's your favorite thing in the world, right? As a matter of fact, a few people, they were like, oh, what's our core value? And I said, oh, this week it's obedience. And they were like, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be gone this weekend, right? We don't like to hear obedience. We don't like to talk about obedience. None of us likes to be obedient, right? It's like we like to go against the grain most times. It's that human nature in us. But here's the thing. We wouldn't be here in this place today if it weren't for this core value that God has been instilling for years in mine and Stacy's lives. It was obedience that brought us to this place of becoming senior pastors. We had no desire to be the senior pastors of a church, okay? We were very happy being youth pastors. We were very happy with someone else being in charge, someone else dealing with all the stuff of a church, okay? But God called us, and we stepped out in obedience, and it was obedience that brought us to Dallas. So we knew from the beginning that this would be one of our core values. Now as I have been processing and thinking about each of these core values and how would I talk about each of them again as we walk through this series, I found that every time I thought about obedience, every time I came across and saw obedience, Abraham would come to mind. Now if you grew up in the church, from a little kid going through Sunday school, you probably first knew of Abraham because of a popular song, right? Called Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons, right? Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just sing, right arm, you know, and then be left arm, right foot, left foot, da-da-da, nod your head, turn around, sit. Now you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you are looking at me like, That dude's crazy. What's he doing up there? As a child, I remember loving that song, right? I remember, can we sing Father Abraham? You know, I love that song. But as I grew up, when I became middle school, high school, I started helping out in the pre-K class with my mom. And I remember dreading that song because, can we sing Father Abraham? It's like, oh, that song, it just goes on and on. It's the song that never ends. Now, despite your view of the song, no one can argue the fact that Abraham was a man that valued obedience, right? We see it all throughout the scriptures with Abraham. When God told him to do something, Abraham did it. And so the question for us this morning is where do we stand when it comes to obedience? How well do we do when it comes to carrying out this value in our own lives? Now, before we take a look at Abraham and our scripture in Genesis 22, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. We're going to read out of Genesis 22. But before we do, I'd like to read some other verses to you. These are verses that you will find on our website. If you look at our core values on our website, and if you go to the core value of obedience, these are some scriptures that you will find there. The first is John 14:15, which simply says this, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." If you love me, you will obey what I command. I believe this is the essence of Abraham's life. He loved God. And so he did whatever God told him to do. And so the question for us is that the same? Do we love him enough to do whatever he asks us to do? Because the reality is he asks a lot of us as Christians in a fallen, broken world. Listen to the second scripture you'll find on our website. It's Luke 9:23. It says this, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I don't know about you, but I know there are many times when I think, man, this life of obedience would be so much easier if this wasn't one of the requirements, right? If this wasn't in the Bible, to take up our cross. But if we're people who truly value obedience, then we'll do whatever God asks us to do, even if it means taking up our cross, even if it means sacrificing our wants and our desires to follow Him, to serve Him. Abraham is one that did whatever God asked of him. He valued obedience. And because of that, I want to look at these scriptures in Genesis 22 this morning and see what we can learn from Abraham when it comes to obedience. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18. This is what it says. "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, who you didn't have till you were 100 and waited forever for, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, 'Abraham, father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Tough question, huh? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. You think he was ever ready for that voice? Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, it's interesting to me how much more this scripture has meant after having kids, right? You know, before I had kids, it seemed like a big thing. Wow, that's pretty big. But it became much bigger once I had kids of my own. I couldn't imagine having to wrestle with a decision like this, like Abraham had to wrestle with. But Abraham did. And as hard as it may be to understand, Abraham chose to walk in obedience. And as I process through this story and Abraham's act of obedience, there's all sorts of things. I've spoke on this scripture before and pulled many different things from here, but there were three things that the Lord put on my heart to share with you this morning when it comes to obedience. Now, verse 2, it kind of just jumps right to the point as God tells Abraham that he wants him to sacrifice his son. And when you think about this, it's crazy, right? It's crazy that God would ask this of Abraham. Why would he tell him to sacrifice his son? It doesn't make sense. But I do believe it tells us something about obedience. And my first point this morning is this. It's a long one, but this is it. Sometimes our obedience is more about our love for God than what it is he's asking us to do. Sometimes it's more about our love for him than what it is he's asking us to do. Did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because God had this thought in mind he wanted to kill Isaac, right? No. He asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because he wanted to see if he was truly number one in Abraham's life. God wanted to know, am I number one? Or now that I've given you this son, has your son become number one? He was testing Abraham to see if he loved God more than he loved Isaac. And really the real question is do you love God more than anything? It doesn't matter what it is. Do you love God more than anything? Because the reality is God is supposed to be number one in our lives. God wants us to love him above anything else, and that means above our spouse. 23 years, but I still am supposed to love God more. Above our kids, and especially above our stuff. Right? We struggle with this a lot in our world. A lot of us put our stuff before God. You see, often we fail to walk in obedience because whatever it is that God is asking us to give up seems to be more important to us than He is. So we decide to hold on to it instead of being obedient and giving it up for Him. It's the story of the rich young ruler. Some of you may be familiar with this story. It's found in Matthew 19. If you want to flip there, I'm going to read from there here in just a moment. But it's the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and asks what you must do to inherit the kingdom. Listen what happened to the rich young ruler. This is Matthew 19. And just, we're going to read verses 16 through 22. It says this: "Just then a man came to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which ones?' he inquired. Jesus replied, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" And this verse 22, it says, "When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." This rich young ruler was completely opposite of Abraham. His money, his possessions were too important to him. He went away sad because he loved his money and possessions more than he loved God. We have to be willing to walk in obedience to God, even if it means giving up some of those things that we love. God has to be our priority. If we call ourselves Christians, if we've made Jesus Lord of our life, then God should be the number one priority for us. When we allow other things to take priority, we actually walk in disobedience. Because we're told in the commands that God should be number one. How much do we love God? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do we love Him enough to give up everything, anything He may ask us to follow Him? Now here's the thing. Anyone that's ever told you becoming a Christian is easy has lied to you, okay? Oh, give your life to Jesus and everything will just get hunky-dory and perfect and wonderful for you, right? And people are like, hunky-dory, is that even a word? Okay, you can date how old I am. It's not easy. It will never be easy. But here's the thing, it's what God asks of us. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, many of us can share stories of how difficult it is. You see, for me, life was wonderful in Newburgh. Okay? I loved my life in Newburgh. You know, for those who don't know my story, you know, if you're new here and haven't heard me share this before, I spent 10 years of my life in Newburgh as a youth pastor before I moved here to plant a church in Dallas. I had an amazing youth group. I was paid well for a youth pastor. I mean, I did all a bunch of other stuff, but they took care of me. We had a great big house. We practically had a house given to us. You know, I was living my dream, which was to be a youth pastor for life. Things were good. Life was great. It was starting to get even more and more comfortable. And then the Lord had to come and ask me if I was willing to give up my dreams to follow His. And let me tell you, it was by far one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. Even though I knew, the moment God asked me, I was like, yes. The answer was yes, but it was the most difficult thing inside of me to realize that I was saying yes to something that was different than what I had hoped and imagined for my life. But here's the thing, I wouldn't change it for the world. Because there's something amazing that happens when we choose to walk in obedience, when we choose to put God first. And as we face decisions that challenge us to be obedient, we have to realize it's more about our love for God than it is about what He's asking us to do. Like John 14:15, which I shared earlier, says, if we love Him, we'll obey His commands. We'll go wherever He calls us to go. And one of the ways that we do that is by the second point I want to share with you this morning. Second point is this. We must learn to convert our obedience to worship. In verse 5, Abraham tells his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." I remember Pastor Ron Swore, Cambie, Foursquare Church. There was a bunch of youth pastors sitting together in this room, and he was there. And I remember the youth pastor saying, "Hey, Pastor, you just have a word of encouragement to share with all of us youth pastors." And he had just read this scripture. And he said, "Man, I saw for the first time verse 5 where Abraham said, 'We will worship and then go back to you.'" And he was the one that said, his words were, "We must convert our sacrifice to worship." And I changed it today to this idea that we must learn to convert our obedience, which is often our sacrifice, to worship. I believe this is one of the keys to being people who faithfully walk in obedience. I know I've shared several times, if you've been here, that in my youth group every week, I would say the same thing to them before worship. I would tell them that worship is a choice. And it's funny because I would say, worship, and then the whole youth group would say, choice. Worship is a choice. Because the thing is, I can't force kids to worship, right? It's a choice that they had to choose to make. And the same is true in this point this morning. We must choose to turn our obedience into worship. When obedience is simply obedience, we tend to focus on the cost. Okay, I'm going to obey. When it doesn't become worship, when obedience is just obedience, we tend to focus on the cost. And it's at these times that we're more likely to walk away like the rich young ruler, when we focus on the cost. But when obedience becomes worship, then we're able to focus on why we're doing it. Because we love our God. We love our Savior. And we want to do the things that He's called us to do. And we want to delight in doing it. It's like we talked about with worship last week. We can experience His joy then in the midst of obedience. As I mentioned earlier, when God asked me to give up my preferred future to follow His plan for my life, it was one of the most difficult things I had ever done. But the truth is, I had a choice, right? Was I going to obey for the sake of obeying, or was I going to convert my obedience to worship? I could go dragging my feet, complaining, "Oh, fine, God, I'm going to obey You." But is that really obedience? I could have dragged my feet, as many of us do, or I could embrace this new calling that God had on my life. It's scary. Preach every week. What are you talking about? That's not me, Lord. You remember, I didn't go to Bible college, right? You remember, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. All these excuses. But we have to embrace that new calling. And I feel like that's what I did. And guess what? 6 years later, I'm still here. And I'm delighting in it. I love this church. And I hope you know that as you come here and if you've been a part of this church. Interesting thing, I've come to love adults, which I never thought I could do, you know. As a youth pastor, that was a thing. Come on, man, adults, what are you talking about? I never thought I'd be able to say that in my life. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that planning a church, senior pastoring is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. But it's also brought me some of the greatest joy as well. And like I said, it's one of the reasons why we value obedience. Because when we walk in obedience, I believe this, when we walk in obedience, when we convert our obedience to worship, it releases the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we walk in obedience, it allows the Holy Spirit to be poured out into us. And we begin to live the lives that He's called us to live. And our lives ultimately become worship to Him. Which, as we talked about last week, is the reason we were created in the first place. Obedience and walking with that attitude just helps us become the worshipers that He's called us to be. We have to learn, though, to convert our obedience into worship. And then the final thing that God kind of showed me in these scriptures about obedience is this. God knows the end result when we don't. When Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, he had no idea what God was going to do. But in verses 10 through 13 it says, "Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son." God knew when he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son that he was going to provide a ram in the thicket for him. God knows why he asks us to do whatever it is he's asked us to do. He knows what the outcome is going to be before we do. And we can trust Him with our obedience. We always think that we know what's best for our lives, right? We always think, "Oh, well, I know what's best. I thought I did. I thought youth pastor for life was best for my life." But the truth is, we don't have a clue. When we do things our way and fail to walk in obedience, we just mess things up. Any of you ever messed things up before? Or am I the only one in here that's ever done that? We mess things up and we end up missing out on the blessing that God has for us. You remember at the very end? God said, "Because you did this, I am going to make your descendants as great. The descendants of all nations." We miss out on the blessing that God has for us when we fail to walk in obedience, when we do things our way. And when I talk about blessing, I'm not talking about financial blessing. I really believe that God does bless us that way, and He does those things at times. But what I'm talking about is the spiritual blessing that comes from obedience. When we're faithful to follow Jesus, and when we do the things that He's called us to do, God is faithful to take care of us, to provide for us in the same way that He provided for Abraham, to pour out His blessings upon him. You see, I had no idea what I was in for when I began this process of planning a church. But God did. And when we walk in obedience, we have no idea what it's going to do in our lives. But God does. And we have to understand that He knows what's best for us. And we have to put our trust in Him. Plus, the other thing we have to realize is that sometimes the things God asks us to do or not to do are for our protection. He wants us to obey some of these commands, not because He's a God that wants to give us rules and regulations, it's because He cares about us and loves us. The Ten Commandments are a great example of this. Many people see the commandments as these rules and regulations that God has given us to make our life boring. Oh, are you serious, you Christians, man? You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's how we see these things, as these rules. But the reality is the commandments were given to us because of God's love for us. If you remember when we went through the Ten Commandments years ago, we talked about that it was a love letter. The Ten Commandments were a love letter from God to us. Because He knows the pain and hurt that we'll experience if we do these things. If you're a parent, you can probably relate to this a little bit. When Toby and Emma were little, they knew touching the fireplace was a no-no. Right? No. You know, that was a no-no. Now, to them, we may have seemed like mean parents, right? When we would sternly say, Toby, no. Emma, no. Right? To them, like,
man, what's wrong with my dad? He's yelling at me. I was just going to go have fun. Look at that flashy, fiery thing. It looks so cool to go and touch.
Right? And they have these thoughts in their mind of what is my dad doing? I was just going to have some fun. I probably scared, especially my daughter at times. My loud voice, you could tell she'd get scared, you know.
What? My daddy yelled at me. Why'd he do that?
But here's the thing. We didn't yell at them because we want to be mean parents. No. No. You know, we didn't say no all the time. We did it because we loved them and we didn't want them to get burnt. We knew something that they didn't, and the same is true with the Lord in our lives. He knows things that we don't, and we have to trust that He knows best. We have to trust that if He asks us to do something or not to do something, that there is a reason for it. That this core value of obedience is based off our love for the Lord and our beliefs that He loves us and knows what's best for us. And my prayer is that each of us will choose to walk out a life of obedience. And I just finished this morning by asking this question. How are we doing? How are we doing in this area of obedience? Are there things that God has asked us to do that we have failed to do? Because maybe like the rich young ruler, man, I don't know if I can give this up. I don't know if I can do that. Where are we at in this place of obedience? And I would just encourage you to take some time and just to search, Lord, are there things that You're asking me to do that I haven't done? Are there areas in my life where You want me to be obedient and I haven't been obedient? Because if we love Him, we'll obey His commands. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is there to encourage us. Your Word is there because You love us and You want us to see the fact that Lord, You're not this God of rules and regulations. You're this God who loves us and cares about us so much that You want to show us the things in our life that aren't good, the things that might bring hurt and pain. And Lord, You love us so much that You want to see us live the lives that You've called us to live, to step out in things above and beyond us that may seem scary, but when we walk in obedience like Abraham did, we experience Your blessing and Your hand upon our life. Lord, I want to be a man of obedience. I pray that for my church, that each of us would want to be people of obedience, who walk in obedience, this core value that You've given us. Lord, that we would be people who love You so much that we'd be willing to do whatever you ask of us, Lord, to walk in that obedience that you've called us to walk in, Lord. And so Lord, may we come to that point where we trust in you, where we truly trust that what you're asking us to do, Lord, is for our benefit and for the benefit of your kingdom, Lord. Yeah, we may sacrifice things here on this earth, but we experience the treasures in heaven, Lord. And so we give you this word today, Lord. May you challenge us. Lord, this, obedience is a tough thing. And Lord, I know as I share the story of walking obedience myself, there are other times where I don't walk in obedience, Lord. None of us are perfect in this area, but we want to do our best, Lord, to be as perfect as we can, to do the best that we can, to be obedient to you and the things that you've called us to do, Lord. And so I just pray that you speak to each of us where we're at. What are those areas in our life where maybe we're lacking in obedience? What are those things that you've told us that maybe we've tried to make excuses for or push off, but today you're saying, Lord, or you're saying to us, Lord, that we need to begin to step out and be faithful to do what you've called us to do. To look at the life of Abraham, someone who at the very beginning you said to leave your family to go to a new place where we had no idea what it was. And he was faithful to do that. And later when you brought Isaac to sacrifice his one and only son, and he was faithful to go to that point where you stopped him, Lord. And so may we be faithful to go and to do the things that you've called us to do. To learn from this example of Abraham, Lord. To learn from your scriptures, Lord, of your love for us and your desire for us to walk in obedience. We thank you for these things. We give all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.